الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sparrow and Blind Snake. Excellence of Salat على النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. The beloved and blessed Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم has said, The one who faces any difficulties should recite Salat upon me abundantly, because to recite Salat upon me removes troubles and worries. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sparrow and Blind Snake. A gang of robbers once went out for a robbery and reached a place where there were three date palm trees. One of the three trees was barren, i.e. it had no dates on it. The leader of the robbers says, I saw that a sparrow was flying from a tree that was laden with fruit and sitting on the barren tree. Then after a short while it returned to the tree that was filled with fruit, after which it would then go back to the barren tree again. It moved to and fro many times like this. Out of curiosity I climbed onto the barren tree, and as I did so I saw that there was a blind snake sitting with its mouth open, and I saw that the sparrow was putting a date into the mouth of that snake. Upon seeing this, I started weeping and humbly said to Allah Azza wa Jalla, O my Lord, on one hand there is this snake which your beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has commanded to be killed. But when you deprived him of his eyes, you appointed a sparrow for its survival. On the other hand, despite me being your Muslim bondsman, I frighten and threaten travellers and then rob them. At that very moment, a voice echoed from the unseen, O so and so person, my door is open for your repentance. Hearing this, I broke my sword and said, I repent from my sins. I repent from my sins. I then heard the same voice from the unseen saying, We have accepted your repentance. When I went back to my companions and related the whole incident to them, they said, We also reconcile with our beloved Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subsequently, they also repented sincerely, and we all began to travel towards Makkatul Mukarramah. Zadaha Allah sharfan wa ta'zeema. With the intention of performing Hajj. Having travelled for 3 days, we reached a village where we saw a blind old woman who, mentioning my gang leader name, asked if this person was also in the qafila. I moved forward and said, Yes, that person is me. Tell me, what is the matter? The old woman got up, took out some clothes from inside the house and said, A few days ago, my righteous son passed away. These are his clothes. For 3 nights consecutively, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam blessed me by coming in my dream and telling me, whilst mentioning your name, he is coming. Give these clothes to him. I took those blessed clothes from her, wore them and set out for Makkatul Mukarramah, Zadaha Allah sharfan wa ta'zeema, with my companions. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on him and forgive us without any accountability for his sake. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O my Lord, glory to you in the highest. You made a sparrow the servant of a blind snake. How amazing your ways of providing sustenance are. Allah Azza wa Jalla has taken responsibility to provide sustenance. O you who worry due to unemployment and restriction of sustenance, do not give in to satanic whispers. Allah the Almighty states in the first verse of part 12, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا Translation from Kanzul Iman: and there is none that walks upon the earth whose sustenance does not depend on the mercy of Allah. Regarding this blessed verse, Hakimul Ummat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Ali Rahmatul Hannan states in Nurul Irfan, the creatures that walk on the earth have been mentioned here, because we observe them, otherwise jinns, angels, etc. are all given sustenance by Allah Azza wa Jalla. His attribute of providing sustenance is not confined to only animals. Rather, each being is given the sustenance that is appropriate for it. When the child is in the womb of its mother, it gets a different type of sustenance. And then after birth, before teething, it gets a different type of sustenance. And then when the child grows up, it gets a different type of sustenance. In short, there is generality in the world, dabatin, i.e. that which walks on the earth, and there is generality in sustenance. The benefits of being poor. Once some poor companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sent a representative to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He presented himself in the blessed court and said humbly, I am here as a representative of the poor. The Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, welcome to you and to those you have come from. You have come from those whom I love. The representative said humbly, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the poor have humbly said that the rich have taken the elevated ranks of paradise. They perform Hajj and we are unable to do so. They perform Umrah and we cannot. If they are ill, they give their extra wealth in sadaqah, i.e. charity, and thus gather it for their hereafter. The revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, give this message to the poor on my behalf, that those of them who remain patient upon their poverty and hope for reward will get three such things which the rich do not have. Number one, there are such elevated palaces in paradise which the people of Jannah will look at like the people of the earth look at the stars in the sky. Only the prophets who adopted poverty, the poor martyrs, and the poor believers will enter them. Number two, the poor will enter the paradise before the rich by an amount which is equal to half of the judgment day, i.e. 500 years. Number three, if a rich person recites the following words, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, and a poor person recites the same words, the rich person cannot attain the same amount of sawab, i.e. reward, as the poor person. Even if the rich person gives 10,000 dirhams in sadaqah along with it, this applies to all other good deeds as well. The representative returned and mentioned the statement of the noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to the poor, upon which the poor said, we are content, we are content. Me bara ameer o kabeer hoon, shahid o sara ka asir hoon, dar-e Mustafa ka faqeer hoon, mera rifaton pe naseeb hai. I am extremely rich and extremely great. I am a slave of the king of both worlds. I am a pauper of the court of Mustafa. My destiny is elevated high. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Definition of Fakr. Dear Islamic brothers, the poor are extremely fortunate in this world and in the hereafter. Remember, only those poor people who are satisfied with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla and adopt patience and contentment whilst refraining from complaining are considered as being good people. Remember here, poor does not refer to those who beg. The definition of faqr, i.e. poverty, is something that is needed, is absent. If something that is not a necessity is missing, then this is not called faqr. Furthermore, the person who has the thing that he needs and that thing is under his control is not called a faqir. 9 sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam on the excellence of faqr. Number 1. There is good news for that person who has been guided to Islam. His sustenance is sufficient and he is content with it. The definition of qana'at, i.e. contentment, will be mentioned ahead. Number 2. O group of the poor, if you are pleased from the heart with the distribution determined by Allah Azza wa Jalla, only then will you attain the reward of your faqr. Otherwise not. Number 3. Everything has a key, and the key to paradise is to love masakin and fuqara, i.e. the destitute and the poor, due to their patience. These people will be close to Allah Azza wa Jalla on the Day of Judgment. Number 4. The most favorite servant in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the poor person who stays pleased with Allah Azza wa Jalla, adopting contentment with the sustenance he is given. Number 5. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, grant sufficient sustenance for the family of Muhammad. Number 6. If a poor person is pleased with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then there is no one better than him. Number 7. Faqr is the gift of a believer in this world. Number 8. On the Day of Judgment, everyone, whether rich or poor, will wish that he would have only been given sufficient sustenance in the world. Number 9. The poor people of my ummah will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. Daulat-e duniya se be-raghbat mujhe kar dijiye. Meri hajat se mujhe zayid na karna maldar. Make me unconcerned about the wealth of this world. Do not make me wealthier than my needs. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. Definition of being a razi, i.e. contented. A razi, i.e. contented person, is the one who neither likes wealth so much that he feels happy when he gets it, nor does he hate wealth so much that he feels pain when he is given it, refusing to accept it. The literal meaning of qana'at, i.e. contentment, to consider something to be sufficient, to have patience, to feel satisfied and pleased with a small amount of something, to get by on what you have, to refrain from seeking more, and to refrain from greed is known as qana'at, i.e. contentment. 2 definitions of qana'at, contentment. Number 1, to be satisfied with the distribution determined by Allah Azza wa Jalla is called qana'at, i.e. contentment. Number 2, to be contented with whatever you have is qana'at, i.e. contentment. When Allah Azza wa Jalla loves someone, then a person whose family members have left him all alone and who is bankrupt and destitute should have patience. Patience and only patience, being content with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he should hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla will include him amongst his beloved bondsmen. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, when Allah Azza wa Jalla loves someone, he Azza wa Jalla puts him to the test, and when He Azza wa Jalla loves him more, He Azza wa Jalla chooses him. It was humbly asked, what is meant by choosing? The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, He Azza wa Jalla leaves neither his family members nor his wealth for him. Wo ishq haqeeqi ki lazzat nahi pa sakta jo ranj o musibat se dochar nahi hota. He who is not pained by grief and calamity can never taste the true pleasure of divine love. There was a stone being used as a pillow under his head. Parable. Dear poor people, it is a fact that poverty is a great blessing when the qualities of patience and contentment are alongside it, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has complete mercy upon the one who is poor and destitute, yet still patient and grateful. One day, Sayyiduna Musa, Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, passed by a person who was sleeping on the ground with a shawl over him, using a stone as a pillow. His face and beard were covered in dust. He alayhi salam humbly said in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, this servant of yours has been ruined in this world. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent a revelation to Sayyiduna Musa, Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. O Musa, do you not know when I see my bondsman with complete mercy, I distant this world from him completely. Fakr, I poverty is a gift of love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Parable. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mughaffal radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that a man humbly said in the blessed court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jalla, I love you. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, reflect on what you are saying. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jalla, I love you. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated the same thing three times. Upon this, the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, if you love me, then prepare the clothing of faqr, i.e. poverty, because faqr comes to the one who loves me even faster than a flood which goes towards the place where it will end. Daulat ishq se dil ghani hai, meri kismat hai rashk e sikandar, middat e mustafa ki badolat mil gayi hai mujhe ye khazina. My heart is rich with the wealth of love. My destiny is envied by kings. Due to the blessings of praising the Prophet, I have been given this treasure. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. An act that is better than 1,000 years of worship. Sayyiduna Abu Sulaiman Darani Qudsirrahu Nurani has stated, the sigh that a faqir lets out due to being deprived of fulfilling a permissible desire that he is unable to attain is better than 1,000 years of worship performed by a rich person. An act that is more virtuous than giving 1,000 dinars in sadaqah, i.e. charity. Sayyiduna Dahaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, if somebody goes to the market and desires to buy something he sees, but remains patient hoping for thawab, i.e. reward, then this act of his is more virtuous than giving 1,000 dinars as sadaqah, charity in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your dua is superior to my dua. Parable. Someone humbly said to Sayyiduna Bishr bin Haris Hafi alayhi rahmatullahi al-Kafi, Make dua for me because I am worried due to the expenses of my family members. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, alayhi said, when your family members say to you that they neither have flour nor bread, make dua for me at that time, because your dua at that time is superior to my dua. The du'as of the sorrowful are answered. Dear Islamic brothers, obviously the one who lives in severe poverty will be sorrowful and grief-stricken. The du'a made by the sorrowful is accepted, as is mentioned on page 218 of the 318-page book named Fazaili Du'a, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. The first category of the people whose supplications are accepted is the sorrowful. In his footnote on this, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi states, regarding this, the acceptance of du'as of the sorrowful and the grieved, it is stated in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Or he who answers the prayer of the helpless when he calls upon him and removes the evil. Individual effort of Ala Hazrat on a poor prince. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi said, a Sayyid Sahib used to visit me quite often and would complain to me about his poverty. Once he came to me very worried. I asked him, if a woman has been divorced by a man, can she be halal for his son? He replied, no. I then said, Amirul Mu'mineen, Mawla Ali Karamullahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, whose descendant you are, once wiped his hand over his blessed face in a state of solitude, and said, O world, deceive someone else. I have given you such a divorce from which there is no return. Therefore, there is nothing surprising in the poverty of Sadat-e-Kiram. The Sayyid Sahib said, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jalla, I now have contentment and tranquility. He is still alive and has not complained about his poverty since that day. Excellence of hiding one's needs. Dear Islamic brothers, not only will your problem be removed by telling others your sorrowful stories for no reason, but on the contrary, you will be deprived of the chance to earn the reward of hiding your problem and being patient. This is because if you mention your illness or sorrow to even one person unnecessarily, or you show any discomfort or unease through your tongue, face or other body parts without any reason, you will miss out on the reward of patience. It is stated on page 263 of Fazaili Dua, a 318-page book of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, if a hungry and needy person hides his need from people, Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant him halal sustenance for an entire year. Two fishermen, parable. Those who are concerned due to unemployment, those who are worried due to poverty, those who are sad because their business has slowed down, and those whose hearts burn due to their poverty when they see rich people, should all listen to this faith-refreshing parable in order to console their sorrowful hearts. Sayyiduna Atta Khurasani Qudsirrahu Nurani states, a Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam once passed by a river bank where he alayhi salam saw that a man was fishing. Having recited Bismillah, i.e. I began in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he threw the net into the river, but caught no fish. Then he, alayhi salam, passed by another fisherman, who threw his net in the name of Satan, and caught so many fish that it became difficult for him to wear them. That Prophet, alayhi salatu was salam, humbly said to Allah Azza wa Jalla, "I know that all these things are from you, but I want to know the wisdom behind this." Allah Azza wa Jalla said to the angels, "Show my bondsmen the status of both of these fishermen in the hereafter." When he saw the respect and honor in the hereafter for the one who threw his fishing net after reciting Bismillah, and the humiliation and disgrace in the hereafter for the one who threw his fishing net in the name of Satan, he, alayhi salam, humbly said, "O my Lord Azza wa Jalla, I am satisfied. More rich people and women in hell." The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "I glanced into paradise and I saw mostly poor people, and when I observed hell, I found that there were mostly rich people and women in the majority." It is stated in one narration that the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, said, "I asked, where are the rich people? I was told their wealth has stopped them." In another narration, it is stated, "Upon seeing the abundance of women in hell, I asked the reason for this. I was told two red things, i.e. gold and saffron, meaning their jewelry and specific kinds of colorful dress have stopped them. Zakah can also become farz on a woman's gold jewelry." Islamic sisters who are keen on collecting gold but do not pay zakah even after zakah being farz on them should be fearful and learn a lesson from this blessed hadith. Remember, earning or having the ability to earn is not a condition for zakah to be farz. Rather, it is also necessary to pay zakah on the gold and silver jewelry that is worn if the conditions are fulfilled. Those women that collect gold out of greed rarely get any benefit from it in the world. By not giving zakah, such greedy women take a huge risk of punishment in the hereafter. The following is a part of a blessed saying of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam: "Whoever owns gold and silver and does not pay its rights, then on the day of judgment, slabs of fire will be made for him, upon which the fire of hell will be ignited, and then his sides, his forehead, and his back will be branded with them. When they are about to cool, the same thing will be done with them again repeatedly. This matter will occur on the day which is 50,000 years long, until judgment is made amongst the people. Then a person will look towards his path, whether it leads towards paradise or towards hell. Not even a handful of flour at home whilst you." Parable. One day, a famous companion, Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was sitting with his friends. His wife radiallahu ta'ala anha came and said, "You are sitting with these people whilst I swear by Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is not even a handful of flour at home." He radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Why do you forget that we have an extremely difficult valley in front of us, in which no one can attain salvation except those who have light possessions?" Having heard this, she returned happily. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on them and forgive us without any accountability for their sake. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. One should not complain. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how much the companion of the Holy Prophet Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu loved contentment and how obedient his wife radiyallahu ta'ala anha was. Despite the fact that there was nothing to eat at home, she returned happily after listening to her respected husband's statement, which was filled with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Instead of making complaints about poverty and domestic problems, we too should remain happy with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Zaban par shikwa-e ranj o alam laya nahi karte, Nabi ke naam lewa gham se ghabraya nahi karte. They do not bring complaints of sorrow and grief to their tongues. The followers of the Prophet are not worried by sadness. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 44 causes of poverty. Dear Islamic brothers, just as there are reasons for blessings in sustenance, similarly there are some causes of restriction in sustenance as well. If we try to refrain from these causes, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, we will be protected from restriction in sustenance. Here are 44 causes of poverty. Number 1. To eat food without washing the hands. Number 2. To eat bareheaded. Number 3. To eat food in the dark. Number 4. To eat food sitting at the door. Number 5. To eat food sitting near a dead body. Number 6. To eat food in the state of janabat, i.e. after nocturnal emission, etc., before performing ghusl. Number 7. To eat food on charpai, bedstead, without a dining mat. Number 8. To delay eating the food which has been served at the dining mat. Number 9. To sit on the head side of the charpai, i.e. bedstead, and to place the food on the foot side. Number 10. To bite into bread using the teeth. Those who eat burgers, etc., should also take this into consideration. Number 11. Using broken chinaware or broken clay crockery, even if it is just for drinking water. Drinking water or tea, etc., from a broken side of a utensil or cup is makruh tanzihi. One should avoid eating from crockery which contains cracks, or from clay pots in which even a little clay has come away, because dirt can accumulate in such places and germs can breed, causing diseases upon entering the stomach. Number 12. Not cleaning the crockery that has been eaten from, not finishing all the food until the plate is clean. It is stated in a hadith, whoever licks the plate clean after eating that crockery makes dua for him and says, may Allah Azza wa Jalla free you from the fire of hell as you have freed me from Satan. It is stated in another narration that the crockery makes istighfar, a supplication for forgiveness for him. Number 13. To wash the hands in the pot from which food has been eaten. Number 14. Whilst flossing or picking the teeth using a toothpick, to put the bits of food that have been removed from between the teeth back into the mouth. Number 15. To leave the utensils of eating and drinking uncovered. Number 16. To put bread out in such a way that it gets disrespected and comes under the feet. Some of the causes of poverty, as mentioned by Sayyiduna Imam Burhanuddin Zarnuji Ali Rahmatullahi al-Kawi, are as follows. Number 17. To sleep a lot. This weakens the memory and increases ignorance. Number 18. To sleep naked. Number 19. To urinate shamelessly. Those who urinate at public places without hesitation should reflect on this. Number 20. To be lazy in picking up the fallen crumbs and grains from the dining mat. Number 21. To burn onion and garlic skins. Number 22. To sweep the home with a handkerchief. Number 23. To sweep at night. Number 24. To leave rubbish in the home. Number 25, to walk ahead of mashayikh, i.e. saints. Number 26, to call parents by their names. Number 27, to wash the hands with clay or mud. Number 28, to stand leaning against a part of the door. Number 29, to make wuzu in the washroom. This is common in houses due to a attached bath system. If possible, arrangements for wuzu should be made in a separate place at home. Number 30, to sew clothes, etc., whilst wearing them. Number 31, to dry your face using the clothes you are wearing. Number 32, to allow spiders' webs to remain in the home. Number 33, to be lazy in salah. Number 34, to leave the masjid quickly after Salatul Fajr. Number 35, to reach the marketplace early in the morning. Number 36, to return from the marketplace very late. Number 37, to curse your children. Many women curse their children all the time and then complain about poverty. Number 38, to commit sins, particularly lying. Number 39, to extinguish a lamp or a candle by blowing on it. Number 40, to use a broken comb. Number 41, to not make dua-i khair for one's parents. Number 42, to tie the imama while seated. Number 43, to put the pajama or shalwar, i.e. lower garment, on whilst standing. Number 44, to delay in performing good deeds. Salvation from poverty. There are also some deeds which eliminate poverty. As Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that the greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, to make wuzu before and after eating, i.e. to wash both hands up to the wrists, eliminates poverty, and it is from amongst the sunnahs of the Prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam. Cure for poverty. The Caliph of Baghdad, Mamun Rashid, once invited a renowned muhaddis, Sayyiduna Hudba bin Khalid Ali Rahmatullahi al-Majid, for a meal. At the end of the meal, the great muhaddis sahib picked up the grains of food that had fallen onto the dining mat one by one and started eating them. Mamun surprisingly asked, "O Shaykh, are you not full yet?" He Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, "Of course. In actual fact, Sayyiduna Hammad bin Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated a hadith to me, which says, whoever eats the crumbs that fall onto the dining mat, he will have no fear of poverty." An excellent method of gaining blessings in sustenance. Sayyiduna Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that a person came to the blessed court of the greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and complained about his poverty. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said, when you are about to enter your home and there is someone at home, then enter the home saying salam, and if there is no one at home, then send salam to me, then recite Qul Huwallah once. That person acted upon this and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with so much wealth that he even served his neighbors. Method of giving salam in an empty home. Here are two methods of giving salam in an empty home. It is stated on page 24 of a 32-page booklet named 101 Madani Pearls, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. If someone goes into an empty house, even if it is his own house, he should say, "Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin," i.e. salam be upon us and the righteous bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The angels will reply to this salam. Or he should say, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu," i.e. O Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salam be upon you. because the blessed soul of the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is present in the homes of the Muslims. اے مدینے کے تاجدار سلام، اے غریبوں کے غم غسار سلام، میرے پیارے پہ میرے آقا پر میری جانب سے لاکھ بار سلام. O King of Medina, سلام. O Helper of the Sorrowful, سلام. Thousands of سلام upon my beloved, upon my master. صلو علی الحبیب صل اللہ تعالی علی محمد. Is it bad to be wealthy? Every rich person is not bad, and every poor person is not good. If the heart of a rich person is free from the love for wealth, his wealth does not make him heedless of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he fulfills all the shari rights of his wealth, then he is certainly a good Muslim. However, for a rich person to be like this is extremely difficult. Generally, the rich have more way to commit sins in comparison to the poor. Whoever has more ways to commit sins, it becomes more difficult for him to refrain from sins. In addition, whoever has more wealth in this world, he will have a greater burden of accountability in the hereafter. Being reluctant over an abundance of halal wealth. Parable. Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said, I would not even like for my shop to be at the gate of the masjid, so that business does not make me heedless of salah and the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Furthermore, I would not even like to gain the profit of 50 dinars from my shop every day, which I would give as sadaqah, i.e. charity, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He was humbly asked, why do you dislike this, i.e. such easy, halal, virtuous, abundant income? He radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, due to the severity of accountability in the hereafter. This is because the accountability of the hereafter is taken on halal money as well. And as for haram wealth, then for that there is punishment. Sadqa pyare ki haya ka, ke na le mujhse hisab, bakhsh be puche lajaye ko lajana kya hai. For the sake of the modesty of the beloved, don't take me to account, forgive me without questioning me, don't embarrass he who is already ashamed. 16 examples of lies told by the rich people. Nowadays, countless sins are being committed as a result of being wealthy. One sin amongst these sins is that some rich people are heard telling lies in relation to their wealth on many occasions. Here are 16 examples of this. However, remember that a statement can only be considered a sinful lie when it is the opposite of the truth. It has been told deliberately, and there is no shari permission or flexibility in it. For instance, number 1, I don't love wealth at all. Number 2, I only earn for my children. Number 3, I only earn so that I can visit Medina every year. Number 4, I only earn so that I can spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Even though such a person may not like paying even 2.5% zakah every year, and he may cause problems for many poor people. Number 5. Upon theft, robbery, fire or financial loss due to any reasons, he states, I am not sad about it at all, even whilst he continues grieving over it. Number 6. After having a magnificent house constructed, after buying the best model of a new car, he says, what will I do with it? I have only fulfilled the desire of my children, though he himself likes such luxuries. Number 7. I have earned so much that now I've had enough, though the one saying this continues to earn money with great passion and continues to start new businesses. Number 8. I do not spend money extravagantly. whilst his lifestyle reflects something completely different. Number 9. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a lot, but we prefer simplicity. Whilst the clothes they wear, the crockery in which they eat, etc., are the complete opposite of simplicity. Number 10. I have got my son or daughter married with great simplicity, whilst the amount of money spent on this wedding would be sufficient to pay for 100 weddings of poor families. Number 11. I have handed over everything to my children. I have nothing to do with my business. While those saying this demand full business reports from their children about the business and take them to task as well. Number 12. I have never shown arrogance due to being wealthy. Whilst a person saying this looks down upon his poor relatives and considering it an insult to shake hands with them, and he also treats his employees as inferior. Number 13. I feel like leaving everything and settling in Medina. If you really feel like this, then that is excellent. Otherwise, it is a lie. Number 14. I have never intimidated anyone through my wealth, whereas such a person gets angry if he is not welcomed specially in a wedding, etc. Or he can be seen introducing himself saying, I am the owner of so many factories, etc., thus making the reality of such statements evident. Number 15. This state of being wealthy is only outward. I am a fakir at heart. Whilst if his spiritual CT scan was to be carried out, then perhaps greed would be on top of the list of diseases. Number 16. We do not regard our servants as servants, but rather as family members. Whilst if these servants are asked how they are being treated, it will become evident that they are in fact treated worse than dogs by their employers. 32 spiritual treatments are related to sustenance, etc. 11. Spiritual treatments for poverty. Number 1. Recite Ya Musabbib al-Asbab 500 times with Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam before and after, 11 times after Salatul Isha, facing Qibla in the state of wuzu, bareheaded, at such a place where there is nothing between head and the sky, even not a topi, a hat on the head. Islamic sisters should recite this at such a place where no non-mahram can see them. Number 2. Recite Ya Basitu 100 times after charged prayers. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, there will be blessings in your sustenance. Number 3. Recite Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram 100 times after every salah and then make dua for halal sustenance. You will get halal sustenance. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number 4. Write Ya Allahu 786 times after Salatul Jum'ah. Due to placing this in a shop or a house, sustenance increases and blessing is placed in wealth. Number 5. After Subh Sadiq, before Salatul Fajr, recite Ya Razzaqu 10 times standing at all four corners of your home. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, deprivation will never enter your home. The method of this is to start it by standing on the right hand side of the home facing the Qibla, and then to move in such a way from one corner to the next that the face remains towards the Qibla. Recite it at every corner, standing with the face towards the Qibla. Number 6. Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ahmadu Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Whoever in a state of purity and cleanliness after Salatul Jum'ah writes this 35 times and then keeps it with himself, Allah Azza wa Jalla will provide him with sustenance from the unseen. Furthermore, he will also be protected from the evil of Satan. Number 7. If someone recites Ya Latifu 100 times and then recites Allahu Latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha, وهو القوي العزيز. Once he will have blessings in his sustenance. Number 8. It is highly beneficial for blessings in sustenance to recite Ya Latifu 100 times every day after Fajr and Maghrib Salah, and then to recite the following dua 3 times. Allahumma wassi' alayya rizqi, Allahumma attif alayya khalqaka kama sunta wajhi anis sujood, wajhi anis sujoodi lighayrika fasunhu an dhullis sawali lighayrik, an dhullis sawali lighayrika birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Number 9. Reciting Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyumu and Ya Wahhabu daily 1,000 times each is beneficial in increasing sustenance. Number 10. Reciting this blessed verse after every salah is very good for one's sustenance. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. Number 11. After Salatul Fajr, recite Ya Wahhabu 1400 times with Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam 14 times before and after. Insha'Allah azza wa jalla, you will never be deprived of blessings in sustenance. Furthermore, your offspring and their descendants will also remain prosperous due to abundant sustenance. A unique invocation for blessings in sustenance. Number 12. A companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu once humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the world has turned its back to me. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, do you not remember the tasbih, which is the tasbih of angels and all creation, by virtue of which sustenance is given? At the break of dawn, I subh sadiq, recite this tasbih 100 times. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-azim, Astaghfirullah. The world will come to you disgraced. That companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu then left. After some time he came again and humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the world came to me so abundantly that I am astonished where to pick it up and where to put it. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, the recitation of this tasbih should be done at the break of dawn, i.e. subh sadiq, otherwise before Fajr. When the jama'at of Fajr starts, one should join it and then complete the number after the jama'at. The day when it is not recited before Salah, it can be recited before sunrise. Invocation to become wealthy within a year. Number 13. Whoever recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim 300 times and Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam 300 times at sunrise, Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant him sustenance from somewhere that he had never even imagined. And if recited daily, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, he will become rich and prosperous within a year. Method of making business successful. Number 14. Write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim 35 times on a piece of paper and then hang it at home. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, Satan will not pass by and there will be great blessings in halal sustenance. If it is hung in a shop and the business is permissible, the business will become very successful. For protection of wealth. Number 15. Recite La ilaha illallah 97 times and then blow on your safe, your sacks of grain, your store, your wealth, etc. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, the goods and wealth will remain protected from any sort of disaster and calamity. Invocation for getting a job. Number 16. Offer 2 rakat nafal salah at non-makruh time, and after performing salam, recite Ya Latifu 182 times, with Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam once before and after, and then make dua for a permissible and easy job, or for halal income. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, your dua will be accepted. Invocation for a transfer. Number 17. Recite Surah Al-Lahab 11 or 21 or 41 times after Salatul Zuhr with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the beginning each time. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will be transferred according to your wish. For success in an interview. Number 18. If you are going to attend an interview for a permissible job, etc., recite the following before your interview. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will succeed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kafha ya ain sod. Hamim. Ain sin qaf. Fasayakfikahumullah. Wahuwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Protection from theft. Number 19. Write Surah At-Tawbah or get it written, cover it in plastic coating, and then keep it in your goods. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, your goods will remain protected from theft. Number 20. Recite Ya Jalilu 10 times, and then blow on your wealth, luggage, goods, money, etc. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will be protected from theft. Number 21. If anything valuable is either stolen or lost, recite this blessed verse repeatedly. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will get the lost or stolen thing back. Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhra. Fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fil ardi ya'ti biha Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Cure for disinterest in business, job, etc. Number 22. If your heart is not in your job or work, then write Ya Allahu 101 times on a piece of paper. Make an amulet from it and wear it around your arm. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will become interested in your permissible work and halal job, and your heart will be at ease. Freedom from poverty. Number 23. If there are diseases and poverty in someone's house, he should recite the following 112 times for 7 days after every salah without missing any recitations. Ya Razzaqu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Salamu. And then make dua. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, diseases and poverty will be removed. 3 spiritual cures for meeting a displeased officer. Number 24. If an officer or a nigran is displeased with someone, that person should recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim abundantly, or write it once on a piece of paper and then tie it around his arm. Insha'Allahur Rahman Azza wa Jalla, his officer or nigran will be kind to him. Number 25. If an officer or employer becomes angry over trivial matters and scolds you, then continuously recite Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyumu all the time, whether you are sitting or standing, whilst imagining the face of that officer or employer. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will be kind to you. Number 26. If you need to enter the office of any cruel officer, recite La ilaha illallahu, or write it on a piece of paper and tie it around your arm, etc. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will be saved from his harm. For the sale of your goods, car, house. Number 27. Recite the following blessed verse and blow onto your goods or your car. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, Your goods will be sold very soon. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين. If a person is lost, then, number 28, if a child or an adult is lost, all the family members should repeatedly recite, Ya Jami'u, Ya Mu'idu, countless times. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, the lost person will be found. To open the doors of sustenance. Number 29, recite Ya Wahhabu 300 times after Salatul Fajr. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, your worries about sustenance will be removed. Duration 40 days. Cure for termites. Number 30. With the blessings of this, a termite infestation at home or at a shop, etc., will finish. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Write the following blessed names on a piece of paper and hang it there. Awwal Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Dom Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Som Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Charam Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Panjam Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Hassan bin Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Shasham Khalifa Sayyidina Hazrat Amir Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Protection from termites. Number 31. Recite La ilaha illallah 41 times and then blow on stored items and books, etc. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, these things will remain safe from termites and other insects. Deal according to your wish. Number 32. If you keep reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim at the time of purchasing something, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will get a good item and that too according to your wish. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.